It's fresh word for us each day. And Father, we pray that you will feed us in the word of God this morning. For the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So keep your Bibles open there. And the title that I've got today is Big Vision, Big Surrender. Big Dreams, Big Surrender. And I think it's appropriate. And I've been really praying into this over this week. And I hope that we can just be open, have open hearts to hear what I feel God wants to lay on us today. And just before I start, I want to encourage us that at the back, everybody's got a letter at the back. So do, when you go out today, make sure you've picked up your letter, that your name and address should be there. If it's not, there are some blanks. If we haven't got your address for some reason, we need to get it. But there are blanks there, so do take one. That's for the giving pack for the Hope Center gift days on the 11th and the 18th of June. And what I'm hoping, really, have been working with the contractors on, is that on the 4th and the 11th of June, we'll be able to actually, during the service, we're going to go through the entrance there and have a little bit of a peek into the Hope Center so we can see it for ourselves, because it makes a big difference, I think, when you see it. You can really comprehend what's going on over there. It's a little bit difficult if you've not seen it or if you're just looking at pictures. So that's hopefully an exciting day or a couple of days where we can do that. And that can fuel prayer and it can fuel our giving as well to see what's going on. Anyway, we're looking today at this passage. And last week we began by talking about getting ready for what God wants to do among us. And we talked about how this is like a journey. It is a story, that this is all part of the story of what God's doing here. We spoke how this church started in 1872 and God put it in someone's heart to build all of this. And here we are benefiting from it here today. And how God has given us as this generation a fresh mandate as we build on both sides, actually. One side's been done and the next side is coming. And now it's fallen to us. God has called you for such a time as this to be here now, to be part of investing in his kingdom. It's an amazing spiritual investment to make into the vision God's called us to. I was thinking this week that as I was praying for us as a church, it was like, you know, when you see on the TV, you get those thermal imaging cameras and you can see where the heat is in somewhere. And I was kind of looking out over the church in my mind and just wondering, what would the spiritual thermal imaging camera show? If we could put that up on the screen now, that would be great. I believe that God wants us all to be hot spiritually. I wonder whether sometimes we are lukewarm. But we need to, Jesus said, I want you to be hot or cold. I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. God wants us to be spiritually fiery, hot, in terms of our passion for him, in terms of our love for him, in terms of our spiritual growth. And I wonder today, I think one of the things, the main things I want to encourage us to be is growing in God. Because when we think about the Hope Center, I think it's only really going to work if there is a passionate church, a hope-filled church, a hungry church that's going to fill that space with the things of God. So may God stir us in that. And these dreams that God's giving us. I wanted to actually start by sharing something. Some of you may remember that when we still had the Ignite Center, something like February, March time last year, we had a week of prayer for the Hope Center. And some of you, I remember some of us went in there. Every day we made a prayer room in the old Ignite Center. Do you remember that? And we went and we could write up words that we felt God was giving us for what was happening. And here are some of those words that I was looking at again this week, because it's good to keep ourselves reminded of what God has been saying and what we need to be reminded of. So here's just some of them. I haven't got time to read them all out, but here's just some I wanted to pick out today. Spiritual foundations built in prayer are more important than the physical foundations of the building. Do you remember Michael's testimony when he stood up here? This is referred to here. When he built the path and the tarmac for the path. Do you remember that testimony when God provided? When he thought there wasn't going to be enough. and there was exactly the right amount. And we said at that time, God can multiply the little we have. Supernatural testimony of the very first piece of practical work for the Hope Center. And God can multiply, and God can take our gifts and multiply them in his kingdom. We pray for that. There was also a word spoken about release, things that bind us. And it was actually to do with money. And sometimes in terms of money and finances, we can actually be quite bound with fear. And this word was a word of release, to be released from fear, not to be bound up in the fear of lack. It says, another word was, this building will be built through rest on our knees. Jesus be glorified as we see God's supernatural provision. Focus on building our faith as this center is built. We will be standing on holy foundations. You see, the very act of building this building is growing us in faith. It's growing us in our discipleship and in our generosity. God, I was a word about God's timing. This is not a random time, this is not a random time when we are ready to build. God's purposes are over us. He has a plan and a purpose in this. There should be no fear. The integration of what is happening with the building and the church family heart, that's what God is doing in us. That word integration has always been a significant word. God wants to do something to connect us and to integrate us together. I believe it's something about this body he wants to really bring together in a new way. And that's part of what's happening physically there, because the two buildings will, for the first time ever, be joined. There's a word about saying, it's not about saying wow about the building, but wow about what God is doing. And that's important as well. That God wants to do in our hearts what is happening in the bricks. And I just want to say, I think the word that really struck me from this week as I was looking at this and praying about it was this word about building through rest and on our knees and knowing it's God's time. You know, when I look at that figure of 171,000 still to go, sometimes that can make us, it can bring us into fear. It can bring us into like, oh my goodness, you can be daunted by that figure. But actually, God is able to provide. We rest in his goodness and in his love. God is able. And I believe in the core of my being that if all of us, if every one of us give as God calls us to give, and if we're obedient to him, there will be enough. There will be enough. Do you remember when Moses spoke to the rock, or was meant, sorry, to speak to the rock, to bring water from the rock? The Israelites had no water in the desert. Isn't that remarkable that God would say, bring it out from a rock? How ridiculous to the natural. Moses was angry with Israel, and so he struck the rock instead. But God told him to speak to it. And I believe there's something in that for us, in that, yes, it may feel a bit like a financial desert. You know, how are we going to raise the rest of the money? Well, actually, we don't do it through pushing. We do it through obedience to God. Obeying the Holy Spirit will provide. God will provide. And we, as it were, we speak to the rock. We say, God is able to provide. And that might take the form of prayer, giving generously, which we'll talk about more in a second. But it's obedience to God that releases his purposes. And that's where all of us, every single one of us today here, are part of all of this. You are part of the destiny of what God wants to do, the mission of God here in this place and in our lives. You're part of it, every single one of us. And we want to be those who are listening and obeying. And so may we rest in that and have real peace about that. But as we talk, do you remember last week I gave you some homework to do and think about the dreams that God's put on your heart? I don't know. I hope you've been doing that this week. And you may have looked at your emails through the week and seen that I've requested that people get back to me on email. If there's anybody who wants to share this morning, you'd be more than welcome to. I'll ask around in a few minutes. You can be thinking if anybody wants to share that dream that God's put on their hearts for now. I think don't worry, the groups, this isn't a mass exodus. This is planned. Some of the older groups are going out. But we talked about the dreams that God has for us as a church family here. What dreams has he put on our heart to see happen? Let me just share with you a few of those dreams that people have contacted me about already. I'm going to use this in just a moment. But someone spoke to me about emailed me about cookery and actually using the Hope Center kitchen to help teach people how to cook healthy meals. I don't know if you know, but I was asking Caroline, who's on the food bank team the other day, was saying to me that 20,000 meals have been provided through food bank since 2013. Isn't that remarkable? That's incredible in our area. And one way we can get alongside people is perhaps to do helping people to cook. Do you remember last week I was talking about using the things God's given us to really get alongside people in our community? That's one way we could do that. Another thing that's come up this week has been about a number of people contacted me about reaching the elderly in our community, and that the population of elderly people is increasing the most in Epping Forest out of all the demographics, and we want to be those who care for those perhaps who are socially excluded or maybe lonely or in different needs that are going on. And we, Cafe Hope, sees a lot of people in that category, and we want to increase that because God loves those people as they're heading into their senior years. We want to really love them, and there's going to be different ways, and I think there's a real heart in this church. And one thing I'd love to be doing in the time to come is gathering people who have that heart and seeing, praying together and saying, Lord, what do you want us to do? There's lots of ways we can respond in that regard. I've talked to people who've had interests, for example, with whether it be in art and an art group or with fitness and doing Keep Fit stuff together. It's all kind of ways that we can come alongside people in our community and be salt and be light and see God work and see people coming in and sharing the gospel where we can with people as well. I would love there to be steps to Jesus through all of these things so people can find the love of God. And something we've spoken about, and the PCC has spoken about, we will speak about this more, but has also been counseling, which we're really excited to see God bringing together people with that heart and the training needed to really give quality Christian Bible-based counseling for people. There's a room being built for that purpose in the Hope Center. And that's powerful. The NHS is struggling to meet the needs of counseling in our world, in our country today. And God has put it on the heart of people in this church that's a way we can get alongside people and help them to find healing and wholeness in the things of God. There's lots of different things here. I've got about renewed outreach for a youth ministry. It used to be a Friday night youth outreach, and we would love to see something like that come about again in terms of outreach to youth, but it may take a different form. The form I'd love to see it come about in, and I talked with Jordan and I are talking about a way to help our young people reach the young people of the community. So it's not just adults reaching youth, but young people involved in that outreach as well. That would be amazing to see as they step forward. These are all different ways that we can see the Hope Center being used. There's something else, there's, in fact, I wonder if, are you here, Tony? Where's Tony? At the back. Tony, would you mind just coming forward? Because I had a quick chat with you this week, and I'm going to give you the mic. Can you just, share with us what it was that was on your heart in terms of, you spoke to me at the end of the week. Tell everybody what you were telling me.
It isn't anything new at all or novel in any way, but perhaps just a bit of my sort of story might help on this. When I was coming up to retirement from a rather stressful job, I thought, what should I do? I need a hobby, something quite different from sitting in front of a computer screen or poring through a law book or reading a finance act, which they aren't very exciting, I can assure you, if you've never done it. I thought, I'd like to do something creative. I've only sort of followed the rules, as it were, but I'd like to do something creative. And so I wanted to paint and draw, but never had the time. because work was so busy. And so, I went to a number of classes and workshops, and even joined up at the college and did something there. And when I came back and I'd completed that course, I was picking up almost immediately a magazine I was thumbing through at work, because I worked for a Christian trust, and it was the magazine of London City Mission. And some of you will have heard of that organisation, and they placed one of their centres in a cafe situation in Limehouse, and they'd called it an art centre, and the emphasis was art. They were working out amongst artists in the area. They said that research had shown that there were more artists in London than any other city in the world, which is quite amazing. And so they felt they needed this art centre where there was exhibitions and there were lectures and there were classes. And I just felt, well, this is right, you know. God wants me involved. So I thought, well, you know, can I help? So I contacted them and said, can I volunteer? They said, yes, come along. And so for quite a number of years, I ran an art class in their centre in Limehouse. So that was remarkable. Almost immediately on top of that, somebody from the church I was then a member of came to me and said, we're not able now to go to Epping Forest College for adult education in art because there's no academic qualification that we can pass. There is, but we really just wanted to do watercolours and oils and just other sort of drawing exercises. Could we use the church hall? Well, I was actually responsible for the church hall and matters that went on there at the time, so I said, well, yes, come. And then, of course, they delivered the actual blow. Well, that'll be great. Now, could you help us? In other words, could you do it? You can get great ideas, but whether you actually do something is quite another matter. And so anyway, I joined that. So I was running two art classes, and I've done so for a number of years. But it's wonderful the way that God just, in fact, seems to lead us into these things. I know I was challenged about doing something in the church, and I felt the Lord say very clearly to me, you've got a passion for art, you've got a passion for drawing and painting, and why don't you use that for me? And that seemed to be very practical.
Bless you, Tony. Thank you. Let's give Tony a round of applause. And I know like Tony is very involved in things like Job Club and so on, and there's people here who do food bank, and one of the other things we'd love to see is more outreach going into areas of brokenness in people's lives in our community as well, because brokenness takes many forms. It could be, there's the fundamental brokenness, spiritual brokenness that people have, which is being lost without God in their sins, needing the Lord, the salvation of Jesus. That's the most needful type of brokenness, to come in back into relationship, to come into relationship with God. But there's also the kind of brokenness where people have economic brokenness and they're in poverty, or it might be emotional brokenness and there's a need for healing. It might be brokenness in all kinds of ways in people's lives, in mental health issues and with loneliness and so on. So there's all kinds of needs there that can actually, God can call us in different ways creatively to seek to meet those needs. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And so we want to shine for love of God in our community. And God has given us all ways to do that. So Tony can do it through leading an art group or being part of Job Club or whatever. What's God put in your hand that you can do for him? Does anyone else want to just, I'll just give you like a few seconds. If anybody else wants, yeah? Because I did say last week we would have some feedback.
Okay, so this builds a little bit on from last...
Do you want to stand up?
Mandy, stand up as well. So this builds a little bit from last week when I stood up and we said about praying for someone on the street. And we've been stirred in ourselves to pray. But it's been... The Lord's been working a little bit more on us since then, and there's been some words and that said over us. And it's about praying for emotional healing for people. We feel that we're being called more into that place. And it's exactly what we talked about, brokenness. But to go alongside, I guess, the wholeness ministry, which would be counselling, we would be looking to be working more in the supernatural and providing prayer and support for people that are broken. And need emotional healing. I'm not going to say anything about that, Mandy. I've said it all then, so that's how I feel.
Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful. Anyone else in terms of your response? You don't? Yeah, Carol?
Can you hear me? Right. I wasn't here last week, but just listening to you talk about the food bank and from there that, you know, teaching people how to cook economically. I actually know of a church that has a ministry like that.
Yeah.
But they don't have a food bank. But what they did was they, you know, got this group together and they were, you know, just teaching people how to use food economically. And from that, they had another group that came where they were teaching lonely, you know, not lonely people, but people had found themselves without their partners at later in life and not really sure how to cook a meal. And having classes for them, and it just became a ministry that kind of just rolled on. The dynamics went all the way through the church. I just thought it was really good.
Brilliant.
So I thought I'd just share that.
Yeah, thank you. And it's interesting, in the Bible, in the New Testament, how much ministry actually comes about through meals. It's eating together is a very, very Bible thing to do. When you eat together, you really get to know people, don't you? Which is what we're talking about, really getting alongside people. So one other thing, and I'll come, if anyone else has got something, I'll come around again. But one other thing is, do you remember Heather talked about fish, food in school holidays? Mm-hmm. And in terms of giving children from families where they might struggle to pay for food through the school holidays, that's something that Food Bank do, which is use the kitchen in the Hope Center to actually bring kids in throughout the school holidays and give them a meal and sit down with them and really get to know them. I think that's really exciting. So does anyone else have anything? Sally?
Just really, I think all these different kinds of brokenness are all interconnected, and it's all what the Bible calls shalom, isn't it? It's wholeness, because people who come into Food Bank, they come for food, but you soon discover that there's so many other things. I just had a lady this week and came in for food, but I just looked into her eyes. I asked if I could pray for her. I looked into her eyes and I just said, "Your Heavenly Father loves you." And she just burst into tears. You know, it's so... It's emotions, it's spiritual, it's food, it's everything, all interconnected. And sometimes so easy to sort of connect into those things, isn't it, in a simple way.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah?
I think my one is... my sister, she comes to church and once in a while I come, but I think you guys do an amazing job. I've come to this church. I came on 1 December and there was a charity thing and I wasn't sure, do I have to pay for the staff or I don't have to pay for the staff? And I came with a neighbor and I was shy. And then I realized that it was all free. And I never realized that a church could give staff for free. And then I've come for the kids program and I think you do an amazing job. And my church is all the way in Brent Cross and they do things like this. And it's just like, when I don't want to go to Brent Cross and I don't want to go to my Catholic church, then I'm like, okay, let's come here. And my kids always go, let's go to Antonita's church. And yes, so Antonita's church is our second church. But some of the things my church do is if someone has a job vacancy at their work, sometimes in terms of helping, someone might need food, but someone might want a job. So they do advertise jobs that people have at their work, and they do and what they call Christmas for Jesus. So Christmas for Jesus, the whole church is changed, and they do boxes. Everyone donate £25. It's just like your brick. I came here, and I thought everyone was donating £20 something for a brick, and it's amazing ideas. So then we all buy turkeys, potatoes and stuff, and the whole church is converted, and then we package these boxes and we go to Brent Cross where there's disadvantaged people and give it to them. But I'm amazed at what you do, and you're so similar to where I go. So this is my church if I don't want to go Brent Cross or the Catholic Church.
Bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. So I think we've got the picture, haven't we? And if you've also got something else on your heart, please talk to one another. Talk to us. We want what's in God's people to rise up. And for me, that's what our leadership is about here, is to help you and help us as God's people rise up. Hot spiritually, loving Jesus, getting alongside people in Jesus' name to share the love of God, to share the gospel with people. And that's what we want to do, and that's what we want to be about in this vision that God's given us. Someone once said, give up your small ambitions. To really believe God wants to do remarkable things. The boy who came with the five loaves and the fish, he only brought his lunch, but God multiplied it for 5,000 people. That's what God loves to do. And the things that God has put in us as his people, God can multiply those things. And it's not just about having 101 good ideas and all getting worn out. What it's about is finding what God wants together and really going for those things and joining in with what God wants to do among us. And I wonder today, do we know what God wants to do through us? Have you got a vision? How can you see what God wants to do through you? That he wants to touch people's lives through you. So this is a big vision for us all. And sometimes we struggle to see that. But I want to encourage you today to begin to pray and say, God, what have you got for me? What have you got for us as a church here? How can I connect? See, one of the things I've spoken to so many people who've got a heart for the elderly, and I want to just connect up those people and then let something rise up. There's so many people here with a heart for seeing justice and social action in the name of Jesus going out to people, not just social services I'm talking about, but a real gospel-centered social action. And we want to gather those people together. There's loads of people here who have a heart for evangelism and going out on the streets. And we want to gather those people together. There's people with all kinds of different hearts. And the wholeness, we've spoken about wholeness today. And seeing healing happen in people's lives. There's lots of people who want to see that. And we come together and we share that passion and we share that vision. And it can be worked out through art or through fitness or through, you know, gardening or whatever God's put in you. We use it for his kingdom. We use it for his glory. And God is able to multiply together what we bring to him and use it for his glory. Isn't that how it works? And that's also a sign of how we need each other, how we're interconnected, how we're part of a body and a part of a church. It's not everybody in their own corner, but it's all of us together that serves God. And that's where the joy, that's where the absolute joy comes out of all of this. And something, you know, that's where the vision comes when I think of St. Mary's on fire for God, saturated with God. You know, I look out with my thermal camera and I see hot, 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 hot. That is what I see. I see us growing in God ourselves, and I also see us reaching out with the mission of the gospel to bring the Lord Jesus Christ to our community. And it's not just about the Hope Center building. One of the things that I was just chatting with someone about this week, you know, it's not all about what happens over there. Because even once the Hope Center is built, there will be a new capacity across the whole church site. And it may be that something God puts in your heart, you end up doing it in the red room, or you end up doing it in some other way, not even here. That's fine. It doesn't all have to be here. But there's the whole, God is doing something whole here. He's doing something big, something amazing, but it starts with you and me grasping hold of the dreams and the heart and the mission and the ministry that God has given to each one of us. And so the passage here from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll get back to that. It's really important here because we're giving here not just to say, would you please partner with us to give so we can just finish the building? Yes, we do want it finished, but it's not just a case of, can we just finish this project, please? That's not the heart. The heart of this giving is about beginning to see more of what God wants to do among us. And part of that is to finish the building. So we want this whole site ready to minister to this community in a whole new way. And it's giving because of love. It's giving because of vision. It's giving because we can see. We give because we can see those people who they don't know how to cook, and some Christian is going to come alongside them and show them how to cook and eat with them, and in the process share the love of Jesus with them. We can see that people are going to sit in there and who've been denied an opportunity for counseling or healing for issues in their life, and they're going to be sitting in there, and by God's grace, they're going to get free. We can see that there's elderly people who may be sitting in their home today, isolated and wondering if anybody loves them, and through the coming together of God's people here, something newborn, and they'll be sitting in there or somewhere here, eating a meal with other people, sharing, hearing maybe a talk from a senior alpha about how Jesus loves them, and coming in, God sets the lonely in families. That's what we're giving for. We're giving for young people. There's something like over 1,000 young people within a sort of mile, half a mile of where we're sitting now, who don't yet know Jesus Christ. And we want to reach out to them with the love of God. How are those young people going to hear without someone going to them? That's what we're giving for. That is the mission, the vision, the fire in our hearts to make a kingdom difference in the world in which we live today for eternity. Not just for time, but for eternity. We want to see people saved, set free, fed, healed. We want to see people broken, restored. We want to see marriages restored, families restored, people who are lonely in family. We want to see all of the expressions of the kingdom of God in healing come about through what God does in us. And it's going to take a fiery church, a hot church, a church which believes what God says, who are not afraid to act on what the Bible teaches, who are not afraid to, we're not ashamed of Jesus. We're standing up and we're saying we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would want to also add, make it really clear, and I was talking with Caroline about this week. She was telling me about she was at a conference this week, and people were talking about, for example, social action and sharing Jesus. And there was a lady who was a Muslim going along, and she was part of a project where people were getting alongside her. And the Christians were hoping that over time it would just rub off on her that Jesus loved her. And then, lo and behold, this Muslim lady has a dream where Jesus appears to her in her dream, as happens to a lot of Muslims. And she gave her life to the Lord through that encounter with Jesus, through the dream. She went back to the project and she said to those guys, "Why didn't you tell me?" "Well, we thought we would love you and just it would rub off on you." But she wanted to know, "Why didn't you tell me?" I think we should tell people and love people at the same time. Genuinely love people and courageously tell people what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's the better way. But so it says here, remember this, in 2 Corinthians 7, remember this: whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I think there's a really important word in that verse of scripture. If we, and this is when it says so we can apply that to our giving. We can also apply it to our serving, our commitment, our listening, our love for people, the way that we are with people. Are we sowing in generously to people's lives? Are we willing to love? Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to witness? And in this case, when we're thinking of the gift days, are we willing to give? Whoever sows sparingly, holding back, keeping back, and the sparingly is often rooted in fear, because we say, well, I need to make sure I've got enough. I'm holding back I'm just going to keep over here. You know, obviously I love God and I worship God, but I'm also going to hold back. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. And that's the heart of God. It says here, each one of you should decide what you, each one of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And Paul here is talking about people who are giving in the church who are not the wealthiest, but these are people who are ordinary people who are really excelling in extraordinary generosity. They're taking up this collection for God's people, and there's the most extraordinary generosity that's being demonstrated. He says, God loves a cheerful giver. Did you see? A cheerful giver, not a fearful giver. Sometimes we give out of fear, and that is often the place of sparingly. But God says, no. Don't give me your fearful gift. I want a cheerful, generous life given to God. And he says, this is the really good news. He says, and God is able to bless you abundantly. He doesn't say how. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel that says if you give, you'll get more back money. I mean, I don't believe in that. That's baloney. But God will still bless you abundantly. It's up to God how he does it. And it may be treasures in heaven. But God is able to bless you abundantly. I do believe that God is a God of blessing. He's a God of abundance. And how does this blessing work? So that in all, God is going to bless you so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. God blesses you in order for you to be a blessing. It's never just for us to store up things. It's always for us to pour them back out. I love the someone like John Wesley. You know, John Wesley could have been a rich man in his day, because he, you know, setting up the Methodist Church and seeing so much of a move of God. But John Wesley, he built orphanages. He did tons and tons of like Bible printing and giving away literature. And John Wesley was always giving and giving and giving, so that when he died, he only had the clothes he stood up in, 6 silver spoons. And the Methodist Church. That's all he had as an inheritance. And I love that. And I think that's how we want to be. So we lay up not treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven, where moth and rust will not destroy, thieves will not break in and steal. So this is a big vision for us. It's a big vision for us all. We want to sow generously, not sow sparingly. And we want to see here from the passage in 2 Corinthians that this generosity flowed out of relationship with God. Let's just look at a couple of these verses. In verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. He says, the service you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. I would love, if you could say, what do you want from the Hope Center Gift Days? My prayer is not just that we build that, but my prayer is that there would be an overflowing that would result in thanksgiving to God. And that God's kind of overflowing is about people's lives changed for his kingdom, for eternity. That's what God wants. Because of the service which we have proved ourselves, others will praise God. See the end, it says in verse 14. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you see how connected this whole passage is all about? It's thanksgiving to God. It's the your giving results in praise to God, that God gives them grace to give, that they're giving no sooner do they get than because God's blessing than they're giving. And there's this abounding kind of just, we're just passing on, we're recycling the blessings of God over our lives, where God blesses us and then we are a blessing. And God blesses us again and we give that away again. So this is the sort of heavenly washing machine where we're on a spin cycle of blessing, and where God wants us to receive blessing and pour out blessing around us. That is the heart of God. That's what generosity is like, and that's why it's joyful and cheerful. Whenever we seek to protect our stuff, we always end up, there's always something about that that is not cheerful. It tends to be fearful. Although there's a right responsibility, of course, about living our life in a godly way, and that's fine. But actually, we want to be those who release blessing. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. If you don't share your faith much, you won't see much in response to sharing your faith. If you don't serve much, you will you won't actually see God do that much. If we don't give much, we won't see the other side of the thanksgiving that will result to God through what we've given. I want you all to be able, and me, to be able to participate and get involved and say, you know, on that day, you know, we're talking particularly about giving here. When I gave, I remember, let's think of ourselves in 2025. And we will be hearing, we pray, reports of great things that God's doing. And you'll be able to look back and say, I remember when I gave in 2017. And now that giving is resulting in thanksgiving to God. Lives changed. People set free. People saved. People healed and delivered. It's kingdom investment for eternity. That's what we're praying for. And that's why this is about generous sowing. And really the last thing I want to say is not just that we have a big vision of what God can do through us as his church, but we actually, my heart too, is that we give because we've got a big vision of God himself. I believe 99.9% of our problems are that we have lost sight of how great God is. And if we remembered who God is, it always changes the perspective on any problem you've got. That we would catch a glimpse of him afresh. He is so glorious. He is so wonderful. He's so holy. He is so perfect. God is so loving. I mean, I'm loving just worshiping God at the moment, just acknowledging his beautiful name. His name is wonderful. There's nothing comes close to God. God is beautiful, he's amazing, he's glorious, he's powerful, he's trustworthy, he's faithful and true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door by which we enter in and are saved. God is glorious. And if we catch a vision of how wonderful, glorious, awesome, holy he is, that always results in us wanting to pour ourselves out for him. And I believe that when we see how wonderful God is, it makes us want to not only give, but makes us want to serve, makes us want to love our neighbor. It makes us want to really get into the word. It makes us want to pray. It makes us want to worship passionately and wholeheartedly. It makes us care about other people that we're with, and as we get alongside them, we're not just offering them tea and sympathy, but we offer them the kingdom of God and the love of God that is real. That's what I see. That's why I believe it's so important for us to pray and read our Bibles and to commit into God's, to commit to church, because we're reminded regularly of who God is, how great he is. Friends, we need that, a vision of God. Something that cures our compromise is the vision of God. And seeing him as in his glory. So let's get a big vision from God, a big vision of God. Let us pray about our giving. The Bible says each person should give what they've decided in their heart. And I believe that comes through prayer. So if all of us today, all of us, each person, and I know many of us have given tremendously already, but it does say here in the passage, on every occasion. So we've got another one of those occasions coming up. That on every occasion we give generously, because that's what God calls us to. That we will pray and obey. I would say to you, don't just pick a number. Don't just say, well, what have I got? pray. Listen to God. Pray and say, Lord, I will obey. I want to obey your voice, and I'm going to step out and give what you call me to give. Then I believe we will give very peacefully, very restfully, very cheerfully, not under compulsion, but each one deciding in their heart what they're to give. We give from cheer, not from fear, verse 8. And let's do this together as God's people. It would give me great joy if we were to do this together. As all those envelopes are out there, my prayer for each of them is that there's nobody who says, this isn't for me, I'm just going to withdraw. But we all give, and we give generously. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. We sow in prayer. We sow in witness. We sow in serving. We sow in loving. We sow in giving. We sow, we sow, we sow. And the more we sow, the more we see God do. And so that's what I want to do. I can't think of anything better than to do that. We want to be about the kingdom of God, not just serving ourselves, but doing his will. Amen? So please pick up your pack today. And as you pray about your giving, ask the Lord, God, give me a vision of what you want to do here. And give me a fresh vision of you, because God is able to supply your needs as you give as well. Should we stand and pray? I'd love to just pray a blessing over us. Perhaps the worship team, would you mind coming up, and we're going to lead us. We're going to have a time of worship together. And this worship is to be a response, where we can say, yes, Lord. This morning was called Big Vision, Big Surrender. And when we get a big vision from God and of God, we want to be those who say, God, I'm surrendering. Be it to me according to your word. So, Father, we pray today. I ask you for the grace of God, the surpassing grace of God to be given to your church. Lord, give us that grace for giving. Give us that grace. We want to see many expressions of thanks to God. We want to see an outpouring of thanks to God. Father, we want to see the gospel go forward. We want to see your kingdom come, your will be done. Father God, let your will be done through us. And may we, Father God, not hold back, but we pray, Father, that as we give, you will also revive us and renew us and put that fire from heaven in our hearts, that fire of love, that fire of love in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Awaken your church. Help us get ready. And Lord, as we worship you now, I just pray that we would do so surrendered and wholly yours. I pray this with thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.